I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
That's what I'm talking about. Football Friday, hour number three, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio, wild card edition of our extravaganza as we continue to preview all these games that you will see this weekend. That does kick off coming up tomorrow with the Seahawks going up against the 49ers, Chargers and the Jaguars, then bleeding over into Sunday with the Dolphins, Bills, Giants, Vikings, Ravens, Bengals, and then concluding and wrapping on up on Monday night between the Cowboys and the Buccaneers. I'm in the beautiful state of Colorado today on remote, hosting our show right now, and we'll be back in our New York City studios coming up on Monday. But on Mondays and Fridays, regardless of where we are around the world, we obviously play a little game, five questions, five answers. We call that game Onsides Offside, and we get to it right now. Hot take hickey back in our New York City studios. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Boom, boom, boom. All righty. What do you got for me, Hot Take Hickey?
All right, Zach. Two head coaches heading into Wild Card Weekend with their job security in question are Chargers head coach Brandon Staley and Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy. Now, Staley's facing heat this week after Mike Williams got hurt in Week 18, in which turned out to be a meaningless game for the Chargers, and he will now miss Saturday's game against the Jaguars with a back injury. On the flip side, Mike McCarthy, Cowboys head coach, he does head into that game with a lot of pressure, even despite Jerry Jones earlier this week trying to quell some of the pressure, put out some of the flames on 105 through the fence, and he will not fire the former Super Bowl winner if they do lose this game.
Which, that's not the way that it actually sounded, let's be clear. I get it, that's how it does read, and you're not wrong for writing the build-up to the question that way, but I took that more so as, I'm not going there, and it's weird, Jerry Jones actually sat a play out, which is shocking, but I'm not even going to go into the thinking of losing that they're going to lose to Tampa Bay. That's the way that I at least interpreted it.
Right. So at least on paper, he's saying, no, you won't get fired, but we'll see what if that day does come, if they do lose on Monday, what actually does happen. Onsides or offsides? Brandon Staley heads into Wild Card Weekend with his job more in jeopardy than Mike McCarthy.
So I say this about you all the time, Hickey. When you get something wrong, there are times, or it looks like you're going to be wrong, there's times that you double down, you triple down, you dig your heels in deep, and you pout, and you just won't wave the white flag. I do think there is merit to the frustration right now that people have with Brandon Staley for the way that he handled the final week of the season and basically cost them having Mike Williams on the field this weekend because he's ruled out he is not going to play. But I think a lot of people thinking he's going to get fired after this weekend if they lose are going to be wrong. And the same people who, after week 17, when we found out that they were going to the playoffs, had to admit, oh, Staley got to the playoffs, therefore he's going to be back next year. Unless there is an absolute blowout and a complete drubbing by the hands of the Jacksonville Jaguars, I don't think the Spanos family, right or wrong, is going to fire Brandon Staley when the second year he has this team in the postseason. So you ask me, Brandon Staley heads into Wild Card Weekend with his job in more jeopardy than Mike McCarthy? No, because I look at the Spanos family thinking they're not going to fire him. Mike McCarthy, it is the most obvious thing in the world that if he loses this game and he loses in the wild card round with a team that had a damn good regular season the last 2 years in back-to-back seasons, Jerry Jones is a ticking time bomb. And if they lose that game, McCarthy 1,000% is going to be fired. So when you ask me once again, Brandon Staley heads into wild card weekend with this job in more jeopardy than Mike McCarthy's, I will go offside.
Offside!
By the way, because we've both been critical about Staley, and we both thought after it was known that they were going to the playoffs that he was going to be back next year, and there was really the entire year this thought that Sean Payton, and maybe it was mainly driven by Sean, that's what ignited it, but a lot of people did jump on that bandwagon that Sean was going to be coaching Justin Herbert. Do you kind of agree that it's going to still be almost impossible, even with how last week happened, for Staley to get fired if they lose on wildcard weekend? Not what you think should happen, but what will happen if they do lose.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting fired. Like I said, I think it's more owner-driven. As soon as you got into the playoffs, I don't care about the Mike Williams injury. As soon as they clinched on a Monday night in Indy, I think it was, what, week 16? That was when, you know, Brandon Staley's job was safe, without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Next one.
All right. Speaking of whose job is safe, Sean McVay's job was in question for a long time, or at least a few days. But according to multiple reports, the Rams head coach is coming back to the sidelines in 2023.
What an attention whore, by the way.
Retirement.
Just such an attention whore Sean McVay is. Oh, I'm going to let my staff go take interviews elsewhere. I don't know. Maybe he didn't have the guts to tell some of his staff that he didn't want them back. But he loves this drama. He loved it after a Super Bowl. He loves it now. And it keeps on looking like Aaron Rodgers, where he wants to leave, he's giving signs that he's going to leave, and he just keeps on never leaving. I am so fed up with Rodgers, and then also Sean McVay, with this dance and this show that they put on now each and every offseason, and they stay. If you want to go, go. If you want to stay, stay. But stop with this yearly drama nonsense. It's repulsive. It's sickening. Just stop. All right, you can continue.
He is back, but maybe some other key pieces are not back. Aaron Donald, his future, speaking of in question, will be in question again this offseason. Even Jalen Ramsey tweeted a very cryptic tweet earlier today, basically saying and kind of hinting that this could be the end of, whether it's his career, or could be the end of him in L.A. Either way, it was very interesting. We'll see what going forward where Jalen Ramsey will be if he will be playing. So onsides or offsides, Zach? The Rams should be a playoff team next season. Operative word, should.
I can't say without a doubt they should be a playoff team. Even in an NFC, that is very open. Like next year, Dallas should be a playoff team. Philadelphia should be a playoff team. Green Bay with Rodgers, you think should be able to bounce back and be a playoff team. Minnesota. Or the Lions, one of those two teams should be a playoff team. So those are already 4 or 5 spots. Someone's got to come out of the South. And I think the 49ers are going to continue to rule the West for the foreseeable future. So you got maybe I'm right, wrong on some of those. You got basically 2 wild card spots. Feels like more like 1. But that changes every year. There's surprise teams. My big concern about that team is when you have a coach like McVay, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You hear about Aaron Donald, who's a force, but he's even talked about retirement. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. There's, even though Stafford quickly denied it, there's some talk about him retiring. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Now I don't know what's going to happen with Jalen Ramsey, but that seems like he has 1 foot in, 1 foot out. And we say this all the time, and I know it's the biggest cliche, when it comes to football, the game is won in the trenches. Their offensive line stinks. So coming off a year where a lot of people were injured and their line's bad and you don't know where the commitment level of this team is, I can't sit here and tell you I feel great that this team should be going to the playoffs. You ask me the Rams should be a playoff team next season, I'll go offside.
Offside.
CBS Sports compiled their power rankings of all 14 playoff quarterbacks heading into the postseason. No surprise, they had Patrick Mahomes first, followed by Josh Allen, and then Joe Burrow was there at third. Looking at Josh Allen, we go back to last year, he had 9 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, incredible 2-game performance, but he has yet to, or he has reached, I'm sorry, just one AFC title game in three seasons. When you look at Joe Burrow, 3-1 in last year's postseason, leading the Bengals to two road victories en route to a Super Bowl appearance. Onside or offside, Zach, Joe Burrow right now is a more trustworthy quarterback in the playoffs than Josh Allen.
Wow. What a question. Now, when I answer Burrow, this does not mean that I don't trust Allen, because it could be very hypocritical. Because I do believe when the Bills play the Bengals next week in the divisional round, right now, and we got to see what happens with injuries this weekend, I would lean on Buffalo winning that game. And Allen last year, it was not his fault why the team lost. His stats were prodigious, just ridiculous, stupid, awesome numbers. But Burrow, in his first real year as a starter, for a full year, took a team with no offensive line to a Super Bowl. And a defense that, yeah, they played well down the stretch, but for most of the year was considered an eh kind of defense. So Burrow, since he's been in more big moments, even in a smaller sample size, and it's even going back to college when he won a national championship at LSU, and then his first real year as a starter, not getting hurt and starting the entirety of the season, he got to a Super Bowl. Yeah, he's just more trustworthy. Now, it's not like I don't trust Josh Allen. Josh Allen should win the Super Bowl this year. Should get to the Super Bowl. Should win the Super Bowl. But Burrow got to the Super Bowl last year, and he wasn't the reason why they lost the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I got to just go to Burrow because he's gotten farther into the postseason, being the leading force of that organization. So that's a great question. But I'll go onsides on that one. But I don't think you could answer that in a wrong way. Now, I will say this, Hickey. I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
Out of all the possible playoff matchups this year, like, you want to run through any scenario, whether it's realistic or unrealistic, with the 14 teams that we have, is there a matchup that would be more exciting than Bills and Bengals?
Yes. Dolphins-Ravens, AFC title game.
Is that with Lamar and Tua, or
no,
is that with featured
Skylar
Thompson?
And Snoop Huntley. You talk about attraction, I am in. I am in.
Well, you do like watching a lot of bad football. So
that's
I
right.
I wonder why you get attracted to that, by judging by some of the teams that you root for.
Right up my alley. That's what I'm looking for. But I think you're right. Bills, Bengals, we haven't seen it. I think that's also part of the draw, is that there's a, you know, it's new. It's not Bills, Chiefs for what would be now, what, the third year in a row? I do kind of like, yeah, I would say yes.
Now, and also, I'm not even thinking of it from the DeMar Hamlin side of thinking, because we all know what happened a few weeks ago, and it was a very scary scene, and we're just so fortunate that DeMar's doing well. There will be build up to that game, just because that game, we saw something that we've never seen before happen on a football field. But I'm talking more so just about the physical matchup. I think those are the two best teams in the AFC. That's not me saying Kansas City sucks, but the Bills this year beat the Chiefs. The Bengals have kicked the Chiefs' butt the last three times they played them and have owned them. I really do believe those are the two most complete teams in the AFC when you look at the entirety of the roster. And I, even though we could get a classic Super Bowl, regardless of who's representing the AFC and if they're going up against Philly, if they're going up against the 49ers, that is a divisional round game. Bengals and Bills, where even though they could not meet up, obviously, in a Super Bowl, that would have a Super Bowl feel with just the talent on both sides of the ball, and the two quarterbacks that are leading the way, and also the receivers. When you look at Stephon Diggs, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Gabe Davis, that's one heck of a matchup.
That it is. Speaking of matchups, let's look to Wild Card Weekend. Six games on the slate, just two road teams are favored out of the six. Now, despite the loss of Mike Williams, who was ruled out today, the Chargers are still 1.5-point favorites over the Jaguars on Saturday night. And the other matchup, the Cowboys on Monday night, head into Tampa Bay as 2.5-point favorites over an 8-9 Buccaneers team. Since 2018, this is just the third and fourth time that there has been a home underdog in the playoffs. Onsides or offsides, both home dogs, meaning the Buccaneers and the Jaguars, Zach, will win this weekend.
I am leaning Jaguars right now over the Chargers. And right now, and I have not been supporting this team for the last 2 months, but I do think Tampa Bay will beat the drama Dallas choking Cowboys. So, yes, on sides, both home dogs, the Bucks and the Jags, will win.
And finally, there's plenty of pressure on quarterbacks come playoff time, as we know. You look at Kirk Cousins looking to prove the doubters wrong that he can't play well in a big spot. Dak Prescott looks to stop a 7-game interception streak and restore faith in his ability to be a franchise quarterback. Geno Smith is playing for a contract, while Brock Purdy looks to become the first rookie quarterback in a decade to win a playoff game. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Kirk Cousins is the QB under the most pressure this weekend.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to say onsides because I don't think if Brock Purdy loses, everyone's going to slam Brock Purdy. If Herbert loses, other than Emmanuel Acho, I don't think people are going to slam Herbert. Dolphins and Bills. Can anyone see the Bills losing to the Dolphins? No. Ravens and Bengals. Without Lamar, the Bengals will win that game. So it's really between, when it comes to quarterbacks, it's the Vikings with Kirk going up against the Giants, or it's Dak Prescott, who has a ton of pressure, going up against the Bucks. But if the Cowboys lose, I think most of the attention is going to be directed at Mike McCarthy. And then some will say, well, it's still going up against Tom Brady, where the Vikings, and this is not to be disrespectful, the Giants have had an unbelievable season, but that's not a roster you look at and you go, okay, it's a playoff caliber roster. So yeah, I do think Kirk Cousins is the quarterback this weekend who is under the most pressure, especially being at home and the opponent that he is going up against. So yeah, I would go on sides that Kirk Cousins is the QB under the most pressure this weekend. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a 5-minute break. When we come on back, a 2-time first team All-Pro will join us. That is the former fullback Lorenzo Neal stopping by to preview Wild Card Weekend. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The Sean Payton watch continues to just be fascinating. Now, the only team that has received permission, or actually that has had the interview set up is the way to say it, because other teams have received permission, are the Denver Broncos, and he can't be interviewed from what I've seen until January 17th, but that's the only team that we know of. Other teams have asked for permission but have got permission, but that's the only team that we know of that has the interview lined up. Now, I heard Ian Rappaport was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today, and he said, quote, going into this, I would have said, I don't know if Sean Payton would go to the Cardinals. Now I think it's pretty legit. That's what Ian Rappaport said, Rap Sheet, on the Pat McAfee show. Now, I also did see that Mickey Loomis, while talking today, because the Saints still own the rights of Sean Payton because they have him under contract for two more seasons. And Mickey has made it clear to every team that you can't talk contract with Sean, even if you get permission to interview and talk to him. You can't get contract talks getting done and hammered away until we agree to a deal, because you still have to trade for him. And Mickey has made that clear, that it's going to be whatever the draft compensation is going to be. Ultimately, I do think Sean is going to be coaching somewhere next year, but the compensation it's going to take to acquire him is really compelling to me, because if it's a first-round pick, well, Arizona has the third overall pick in the draft. And it's not as if you could just say, oh, we'll give you next year's first-round pick, because you're probably not going to have Kyler Murray for most of next season. And for the Broncos, we know they don't have a lot of draft capital because they had to give away most of that draft capital in the Russell Wilson trade, which is starting to come to a close on what they had to give up after this year. But they did get a first-round pick back in the Bradley Chubb trade via the Miami Dolphins. And then you did hear some people kind of line it up, since a bunch of teams have requested permission, and they got it for Sean. Since he's only has one interview scheduled, could there be a case where on the 17th, he walks in, and not that the Broncos ownership group could just hold him there and hammer out a deal, because they have to get the trade compensation figured out with the Saints. Now, could it come together very quickly where they have the framework on what the return is going to be, and they tell Sean, Sean, stay in the facility, Sean, stay at the hotel. We want you as the coach. If you want to be the coach, we're going to go call Mickey. We can't talk contract, how much you actually do behind the scenes and how much you don't. That's a different conversation. And then they call Mickey and say, we want to get this deal done. Here's our offer. Do you accept? Does he say yes? Does he say no? I don't know how long this is going to be. But Ryan, I do find it interesting with how many teams that have job openings that are making it known that they're interested in Sean, that the only interview that's been set up so far is with the Denver Broncos.
And you can't interview till January 17th, so I'm not sure if that plays a part of just the slow nature of this developing. But especially, too, as you know, a Rams job that we thought was going to be open now is shut, with Sean McVay returning, and assuming there's not, you know, any chaotic nature in Saturday's wild card game, Brian Staley is going to return for the Chargers. There's less and less selections here for Sean Payton, so I wonder if you're a team, except you're the Texans, who have requested and I believe have been granted permission.
Yeah, so the Cardinals and the Texans are the other two teams, in addition to the Broncos, that have been granted permission to talk to Sean Payton and to interview Sean. But the only interview that is lined up, and as Hickey pointed out once again, the 17th is when that process can begin. The first and only interview actually set up with a date that we know concrete in hand is with the Denver Broncos.
Right. I'd assume now more teams will be, I guess, either setting things up quicker or even just be more aggressive in trying to land him, because it seems like, I said, he wants to coach in 2023, and the pickings are getting slim now in terms of attractive jobs that are out there.
Now, the only other two jobs that would be open would be the Colts and would be the Panthers.
Right.
I don't believe the Saints would prefer it to be the Panthers. If the Panthers seek permission, would they be granted? That's something I don't know. If I'm the Saints, if Sean's not coming back, I know you don't want to go up against him twice a year, but if they really, really want him, then you just, whatever the price is for anyone else, if it's a first-round pick and a third-round pick, well, Carolina, for you, it's two first-round picks and another pick, like maybe a fourth or something like that. How about your football team? Why hasn't your football team, from what I've read, not shown any indication that they're willing to go try to get an interview with Sean?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you heard him talk on Fox.
I'll tell you why. I know why.
Why?
It's because Chris Ballard's still there. I know you could tell me George Payton is still with the Broncos, but it seems like Chris Ballard is not going anywhere. Now, I don't know if Sean and Chris have a relationship or not. I don't know where they stand, and maybe they're all good, maybe they're all not, but maybe Sean looks at Jim Irsay kind of unstable. You got Ballard there who probably shouldn't be there once you get rid of the coach. Maybe Sean doesn't even have any interest, but you would think Indianapolis, where say what you want about Jim Irsay and some of the crazy things he does, the guy is committed, even though he doesn't always do it, to putting the best football product on the field, and he usually provides those resources available, or at least last year, his video showed how miserable he was after his team lost to the Jaguars, and this year, at least he saved us a video that no one could really hear because he's outside right behind his private jet, and it was so windy on the tarmac. So this year he just released a statement, but it is bizarre to me how you would think Jim would swing big, how it looks like they haven't even gotten the batter's box yet with Sean.
And they mentioned being deliberate, so I don't know if this is just, hey, we're going to go through this first week and then reassess after this week. I don't know if it's the Colts or Sean Payton's taking them out because of ownership and Jim Irsay.
Yeah, the guy's a great coach.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's realistic, but absolutely.
Hey, can we get an interview? And if Sean says, I have no desire to talk to you, I won't burn you guys publicly, so don't even ask, that's a different thing.
That could have happened. We don't know.
Yeah, and if it did, that's a bad look for your organization, Hickey, that Sean doesn't even want to sit down and break bread with Jim Irsay.
I mean, I agree. I don't think it would be surprising with how Jim Irsay has run this team this year and the decisions he's made and, you know, the input he's had. And again, when Sean Payton says basically the biggest thing he's looking for is ownership, I don't see you can look at that and look at how Jim Irsay acted this year and say, oh, yeah, that's a match made in heaven. Can't do it.
So the other two jobs, so you look at Denver with the new ownership group, and they're going to do whatever it takes. They're the richest ownership group, even in a salary cap sport, you know, so there's our limitations. You have George Payton there. If Sean wants to go there and George is there for a year and he kind of understands that I could just drive George out of town in a year from now, okay. Maybe he really likes Russell Wilson and thinks Russell Wilson isn't as tough to fix as a lot of other people do, especially with the way that Russ did play in the final few games of the year once they did fire Nathaniel Hackett. But you look at the other two destinations, the Cardinals, well, there's no GM in there right now because Steve Keim is on his way out of the organization along with Cliff Kingsbury. Kyler Murray is currently hurt, but there has been talks that Sean does like Kyler Murray, and there's got to be some significant pieces that are rebuilt with that team. I don't think there's a lot of pressure on the Cardinals to quickly turn around once Cliff Kingsbury and Steve Keim are out the door, and it kind of buys you an extra year because we don't know if Kyler Murray is going to be able to play football next year. The Texans, if he goes to the Texans, I guess it's him feeling very confident with them having the number two overall pick. He'll be able to get either Bryce Young or CJ Stroud, and maybe he's in love with either of those two young quarterbacks. It's a full rebuild if he comes in. If he goes there, I would imagine Nick Caserio is going to get fired and he just takes it all over. But you want to talk about owners. I don't get how you could trust Cal McNair. That guy inherited that team and has done an absolutely horrible job. Now, I'm not saying all the circumstances were easy, but there were problems even before we found out that Deshaun Watson was an absolute pig and a creep with ways that they wanted Deshaun Watson out of that organization that made no sense. And you found that everything happened off the field. Just like, okay, just get him out of the organization. And they got a lot back in return for Deshaun Watson. But that organization, I could not trust that owner. Like, we talk about Jim Irsay sometimes being untrustworthy. It's not even close compared to the way, just in terms of how they operated the team, that Cal McNair in the last few years has operated the Houston Texans. So if I'm Sean, I'm surprised, and I get it, if someone wants to interview, you take the interview, but I'm surprised, Hickey, that he is, from what we can gather, at least sitting down and talking to the Houston Texans.
Now, I don't hate to make a case for my division rival and a team that has been terrible,
really?
But okay, I will say this. What Cal McNair is going for him is that he has a track record of staying away and letting the people he hires do their job. If Sean Payton can go in there and convince him to get rid of Nick Casario, basically give him the entire franchise, I think Cal McNair would do that and step away. We've seen Jim Irsay step in, get his hands kind of dirty when things don't go well. You can't trust him to back off. I think Sean Payton could trust Cal McNair with, you're right, how incompetent he is and how at one point he's listening to a guy who's underqualified
Jack
in Jack Easterby and basically having him run the entire franchise at one point and run it right into the ground. But at least if you're Sean Payton, you could say, hey, look, here's my plan. I know you'll stay away. If he gets a job, I think basically Sean Payton is running the entire organization. And there is no ifs, ands, or buts. I think everything he wants, he gets for the most part. And I think he would kind of get what Bill O'Brien wants, but do a lot better job at it than Bill O'Brien did when he was kind of the GM and the head coach at one point. I mean, look, Bill O'Brien did get what he wanted, I will say. You know, he drove Rick Smith out of town. And
he got every GM fired.
Yeah, exactly right. So he was able to kind of get his way. So imagine what Sean Payton would be able to do. I think that's why Sean Payton's interested in that job, because you're basically acting outside of dishing out the money out of your own paycheck. You are basically the owner, the GM, the head coach. You control the entire team.
But even though with what you're saying, I would still have these flashbacks of this idiot owner and Cal McNair giving power to Jack Easterby, who even Belichick said was not a personnel guy, how they gave him that power in the first place, even though now I would be getting all the power. It would make me say, if he was able to do that once in his past with something that just made completely no sense, I don't know if I could trust him for the foreseeable future, even though he's handing me the keys to the franchise. The way I would rank it, if I'm Sean, if these are the only three teams that are going to be interested in him, and maybe that changes after this weekend if the Chargers job opens up, but I don't think it would. He wants to go to the Chargers. We all know that. Now McVay is coming back to the Rams, as we find out. And I guess the only other job that could open up is the Cowboys after this weekend. And that could definitely change the conversation with how much Jerry Jones and Sean have been linked over the years and how much Jerry Jones has wanted to make that happen throughout the years from what we read. And even Florio had a bunch of things about it in his book. I would rank those three jobs. If the only three jobs are going to be the Cardinals, the Texans, and then the Broncos that are pursuing his services, I would say Cardinals one, and I think a lot of people around the league are starting to push the Cardinals and are hearing things about the Cardinals. And I will even say it was 3 weeks ago where I had someone unsolicited text me, and they said, watch out for Arizona. That Arizona is not Sean's preferred destination. I've talked about this before. That Arizona is not his preferred destination. The Chargers are his preferred destination, but it doesn't look like that job's going to open up. He goes, he would settle for the Cardinals. That's what someone told me and just texted me, someone that I trust. So take it for what it's worth. So I would say Cardinals one, and you keep on hearing all these insiders like Rappaport today say that he didn't think that was a possibility. I didn't think it was a possibility until someone told me that a few weeks ago. And now all of a sudden it's, okay, I think there's a legit chance. So in terms of likelihood of him taking one of those three jobs, I think it's the Cardinals one. Then I would say it's the Broncos two. I do think the compensation on the trade could be a holdup for the Broncos. And then number three, I would think it's the Houston Texans. In terms of what you think will happen, Hickey, because that's what I think will happen. Cardinals one, Broncos two, a Texans three, most likely to least like at least the teams that have been granted permission so far. How would you rank those three in terms of what you think will happen, not should happen?
I'll go Broncos 1, Cardinals 2, Texans 3.
Okay, good deal. This is Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come back, we'll do a little this coach or that coach for some of the job openings around the league.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone, from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
Yeah!
We talk to everyone, from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Wild Card Weekend almost here. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio on a Football Friday. And now joining us is a man that made the Pro Bowl four times. He's a two-time first-team All-Pro, and that is the legendary fullback in Lorenzo Neal. Lorenzo, appreciate the time. How you been?
Hey, Zach. I'm great, brother. Thanks for having me on the show.
I appreciate you coming on, as always. What did you make of Brandon Staley last week playing his starters as late as he did in a game that basically meant nothing, and now they won't have Mike Williams this week because he suffered a back injury in that final week of the season?
Oh, man, great question. I'll tell you right now, I mean, I love Staley. Met the guy, know him, coach. I know the coach. I've been down to training camp and understood what he was building. Building a tough team, went out in free agency, made his defense better, went out and got different guys to say, I want a physical team. And he said, I want to build in the trenches. So he's done the necessary requirements that he needed to do to have a tough physical team. But last week, and this is the thing, I know if he could go back in time, Coach Staley would not have played Mike Williams not that long, wouldn't have played the starters because there was nothing to gain. You should have handled that game, in my opinion, like it was a preseason game. You let him play a couple series if you want to keep the timing together. You let him play a quarter if that's what you needed to do. But for me, I would have left half those guys at home. I wouldn't even let them get on the plane. You're in a situation, you can't improve your position, and now you're getting ready to play a Jacksonville team that you're going to need all hands on deck. You need Mike Williams because he stretches the field. He makes Keenan better. He may be the most, you know, the vertical guy on the team, and now you don't have him. This is going to be a tough out. You're going to Jacksonville in a hostile environment, a team that spanked you, you know, some weeks back where they just beat up on you. Now you already have guys that you put out there on the field for almost four quarters and you pulled them off at the end of the game instead of saying, hey, you're going to play one half. But you said you were trying to win a game? For what? The record doesn't matter for one more win, 11 wins, 10 wins. What's the big deal when you can't improve your playoff position? So I didn't understand it. I like Coach, and I know everyone's on him, and you see the way the press conference, he was disappointed with it, but it's tough. It's tough.
I don't think he's going to get fired, but it's been the conversation all throughout the year. Get rid of him, bring in Sean Payton. If he loses this game this weekend, can you see him being shown the door?
Wow, that's an interesting call, because I'm going to tell you right, if you don't have Mike Williams, and if you lose this game by three, or if this is a tough game, and you see that Herbert struggles because no Mike Williams, because what he brings to the vertical game, I don't know, guys. I know everyone says, oh, he's not going to lose his job. You can't lose your job. Everyone's going to keep him in there because, you know what? Hey, Staley's turned it around. I don't know. Because let me tell you, if you have a Sean Payton, you think about Sean Payton, you put Sean Payton with Herbert, and you think about the maturity and the process. Look at Drew Brees. Drew Brees, I played with Drew in San Diego. Drew was great. He was a good quarterback. When he went to New Orleans, he became great. Why? Because Sean Payton is an offensive guru, an offensive genius that knows how to get the best. So if you're thinking about, okay, and then you look at the Saints, they say you got to give up a first-round pick for Payton because he's under contract. Now you tell me, if you have the quarterback for the future for the next 10 to 12 years, why the hell wouldn't you give up a first-round pick to bring in Sean Payton to make sure that your franchise, your face of your organization for the next 10 years is going to understand the nuances of football? For me, it's easy. It's easy.
Lorenzo Neal here with us. It seems like you think, and I know you want the Chargers to win, but it seems like, you know, just the way that you're talking, you think they're going to lose this weekend to the Jaguars.
You know what? I think that Herbert, talking with her, you know, just understanding this young man, I was like, hey, look, you know, leave him a text message or just whatever. I don't want to respond or talk. I just say, look, I said, this is not about you. And you look at Jacksonville, the quarterback, and you say, one loves the quarterback. But this is not about you and him. Stop. Let the media play that game. You're the leader of this team. You are the man of this team. You have earned the right to play in this, for the dance. You have earned the right to be in the dance. You've earned the right to be in the, you know, where it's only a couple teams remaining. What are you going to do with it? It's so easy to get caught up in these two quarterbacks or the quarterbacks of the next 5 to 10 years, whatever it may be. I said, man, don't get caught up in that. You take your team on this road, and you think about one thing, and it's about how do I lead my team to victory? How do I leave everything else and say, hey, boys, our best is good enough? But I'm going to tell you right now, losing Mike Williams, that's a big blow. You just don't replace the Mike Williams. You just don't replace certain guys in this league is because it's just too hard to do. So now you don't have Mike Williams, even if you win, and now you got Kansas City. Is this Charger team? And I think that's the question that Staley has to ask himself. If he could go back in time, I know he wouldn't have played Mike Williams because if he had a crystal ball, because there was no need to. So I don't blame Staley now. He's under a lot of fire. But I'm telling you, this could have caused them the game, and this could have caused them the game for next week. So when you look at Staley and you think about what's at stake this week, next week, because you're not going to have Mike Williams, I think it is time for concern.
Lorenzo Neal, before we let you run, what's your Super Bowl pick this year with everything you've seen? Who's the team you have the most confidence in the AFC and the NFC to get to Arizona for Super Bowl 57?
My goodness, man. I tell you right now, if the Chargers had everything, if they had their tackle, the Slater, if you had Mike Williams, if you had everything in place and had all their dogs, I was thinking it was going to be the Chargers and 49ers. That's what I wanted to see.
It's not going to be the Chargers, Chiefs, the Bills, the Bengals. They're better.
But listen here. I'll make you a bet right now. The Bills won't make it to the Super Bowl. So you bring me on this show when the Bills – and I'm going to tell you right now, with Chargers, if Mike Williams was playing, they match up great against Kansas City. You go look. They talk about why did Kansas City win the first game. Was that coaching or was that the Chargers? You think about it. A guy just had a big play. He's tired. He wants to come off the field. And you run an out route and he stops on a route and it's a pick six for 100 yards. Come on. You hear the thunder before you see the lightning. Tell you the rain is on his way. And you got me fired. You got me fired up. I think when you look at the playoffs and you look at the picture, especially in the AFC, I do not think that the Bills are a team. I think the Bills have the talent. I think, but Josh Allen right now has been inconsistent. I look at the Bills. I don't know. I love Cincinnati. I love what the quarterback can do. I love his process, and I think that he's got that gunslinger mentality. I don't necessarily trust his offensive line. But if you think about Jacksonville and the Chargers, they might be the two hottest teams. I know Mahomes got something to say, but if the Chargers was healthy, they match up well against Kansas City. That's all I'm saying. So if you ask me right now, though, who is it? I'm going to say this. It's either Kansas City and the Niners, or it's either the Bengals and the Niners. But I'll tell you right now, sure as Monday come after Sunday, the Niners are in the Super Bowl.
I only got a minute left. Why the Niners over Philadelphia?
You know what? Here's why. Because the guy named Purdy. Can you believe it? If I told you 8 weeks ago or 10 weeks ago, or when the Niners win, the Niners are good. If I said if they run the ball 30 to 40 times and they play ball control and Jimmy G throws the ball 25 to 30 times for 200 yards and they have 200 yards, wasn't that the formula for the Niners? That everyone said, if they're running the ball, you can't beat them. When the Niners are running the ball and they're effective, they said, if the Niners are running the ball 30, 40 times a game and they got 200 yards rushing and 200 yards passing or 150, they usually win. But for the first time, you don't have to say that. The Niners can beat you by land. They can beat you by ground. They can beat you by air. And I love him because he understands. That's what he understands. Jack, he understands he's got enough weapons. He's got enough superstars around him. Too many quarterbacks come in the league, or too many starting quarterbacks come out and say, I'm the leader of this team. It's all me. I got to get guys to yell and do all this stuff. Purdy came into a situation, and he said, oh, my God, I got Debo. I got Ayuk. He gets up to the line, and he looks out there, and he sees, hey, Kittle down the middle. He's like, I got Kittle. I got Ayuk. Oh, by the way, I got a guy by the name of McCaffrey in the backfield. So guess what? All he's doing is playing football.
Lorenzo, I love you, but we got to run. We're up against it. Thanks so much.
I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes.
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm Larry Mullins, host of the podcast Your Weirdest Fears, the show that explores the odd things that make your heart stop.
I am so scared of the Grinch. He is bad vibes. Yeah!
We talk to everyone from therapists to exterminators to lizard man.
I was 25 when I actually got my tongue split. I have one tattoo that covers my entire body.
Listen and subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts from.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.